The following program is rated M for a mature audience. It contains coarse language.
Coming to you live from the corner of Dream Street and Guffaw Avenue, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now jaywalking his way into your heart, here's Nate.
Hey, welcome back for the Friday edition of the Nate Darling Show. Hope everybody's had a great
Friday.
Week.
It's been a great week. I've accomplished so much.
Friday. I hope that as you're listening to this, my family is safely home and brought me something really awesome from Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
I bet they did. That's what I hope. Like a churro or a toy.
Ooh.
That means toy churro.
There's probably a lot of really cute pictures of tea on Facebook right now.
Hopefully.
Maybe you want to go on the mantle of your friend.
Right?
Really dour. I don't know what you're going for. That was a callback. Tune into Wednesday's show for all the information you need.
You want to know what that's about.
Yeah.
So, coming up on the show this lovely day, we got a woman changing her name, a petition that the president has to pay attention to that he probably shouldn't have to pay attention to.
Oh, it's just the Justin Bieber. Oh, sorry.
Do you know how teases work, Ted?
No, I don't know how slow prep works either because I never read it. I mean, I always read it.
That's perfectly
fine. I think I've been fired.
That's okay.
My last show, everyone.
Listen, the third week of every month, you're out.
Oh,
let's do it that way.
Fine.
So I promised last show I would talk about my trip to San Francisco.
Do it. If you're going to San
This is like
Francisco.
Your second week in a row in the Bay Area, huh? You've been having a lot of adventures.
It is. It was an adventure day. Make your own adventure day.
Adventure.
It turned into Make Your Own Adventure. The idea was I was going to go to the Giants Fan Fest, which is a big festival where they have players out there and they sign autographs and you can walk on the field and it's a grand old time and it's exciting and all of that. So get up, went to, picked up my friend Leslie and we drove to San Francisco and we get off the freeway. Ooh. And as we're driving down the Embarcadero, there were people in line about a quarter of a mile long.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wait, am I doing this right?
No, it's not worked, honey.
Oh, sorry.
So we drove down. I'm like, you know what? We'll go down to Lot A, which is the one across McCovey Cove, because that's where the free parking is. We'll see how it is there. Maybe it's just this is the stream of people coming off of public transit. So go down to 3rd Street, turn onto there, go over to Lot A. It's full. The lot is full. There is a line equally as long going the other direction. And it's a beautiful day. And I say, let's cancel this shit and do a make your own adventure day in San Francisco.
Ooh. Sorry, I'm getting it this time.
So I had not been to Twin Peaks yet. And that's something I've kind of wanted to do because it's and on a beautiful sunny day.
Yeah. Good place.
That is a fantastic thing. Now, you do have to go through the Castro to get there.
Oh.
Wait, no?
I don't know.
Oh.
Ew.
No.
That's not true. It depends what direction you're coming from.
Well, if you're coming from AT&T Park, you do.
We're trying to cause gossip and rumors.
Is it working?
I don't know that it is.
Oh.
When I drove up there, just incredible views.
Ooh.
All around.
No.
And, the piece of technology that they have a bathroom, the public bathroom up there. Are you familiar with the public bathroom up there?
Coit Tower.
Well, not like familiar
not
with it.
It's one of those that you sort of see
not
them.
Not Coit Tower.
No, it's not Coit
Sutro
Tower.
Sutro Tower.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
They're gonna take away your All Access Bay Area pass, Ted.
I was sorry.
How Ooh. Dare you? What? Sutro Tower is like the unsung tower hero of.
I'm
San
familiar
Francisco.
With the differences between the two. I just tuned out which tower he was talking about, but I'm tuned in now.
I wasn't talking about either tower.
He's talking about a bathroom, you guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no towers. they have a unisex public restroom, and it's kind of cool because it self cleans between every person. It washes the whole thing, the floor, the toilet, everything. So when somebody comes out, the door closes, and then it goes through a cleaning cycle. It's weird. It's very weird, but it's nice that it is. And they have signs up that say one person at a time so that no one's in there doing it. They have a 20-minute time limit, so you better be ready to go when you go in. And it was just kind of an interesting thing to have a bathroom that cleaned itself after each person.
I feel like they've had those for years now.
Well, I haven't been exposed to them.
Oh,
that's
okay. Well, my San Francisco Watch's pass lets me know they have had those for years.
I'm not from the Bay Area, some people.
Mr. Vermont Pants.
That's right.
Okay.
You know what we have for public bathrooms? Trees. You go behind them. It's true.
But they're not self-cleaning trees, I bet.
Nature is self-cleaning,
Dad. It takes a while.
No, it rains in Vermont. Everything washes away.
That's amazing.
It's true. So great views, beautiful thing up there. And then
you have the bathroom still?
No, we're done.
Okay.
But if you're in San Francisco, it's a clear day. Go to Twin Peaks. It's fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Great
Twin
views. And even climb to the top of one of the Twin Peaks, because that's not where you park. You park in the parking lot, and then you can go up some little trail up to the top of the Twin Peaks, and you can see even further because you're up even higher.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Could you see all the way to Giants Fan Day?
You could see all the way to Oakland, and you could see all the way to the Pacific Ocean. It was pretty much a 360-degree panorama. Up there, it was really cool. And yes, you could see AT&T Park, but what you realize when you're looking at the city from that vantage point, AT&T Park looks huge when you're right there. It looks immense. When you're looking at it in perspective with the rest of the city, it doesn't look very big.
It's the sweetest little ballpark in the USA.
There you go.
That's how they pitched it when it was first made. It's tiny.
Comparatively, yeah. Did that, then went down to the Maritime Museum, where you can go on the ships, the National Park.
Oh yeah.
And
it's not the Maritime Museum, but yeah.
Yeah. That was fun. That was, it's kind of a weird thing because it's free to go to the National Park, but if you actually want to get on any of the boats, you have to pay a $5 boarding fee.
A tax to get on a boat?
I know.
Ooh,
it's weird.
No?
And then I was like, why are my tax dollars going to these boats?
Yeah.
Fair. That's okay.
Why?
Maintain them?
Did you pay the $5?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We did. Paid the $5.
You sneak
on.
Cool.
One of the boats. And by the way, the National Park Ranger who was manning the booth is my new hero, because there were these kids that were going to get on one of the boats. They're heading up, and she comes out of the back of the thing. She's like, children, you need to have a pass to get on the boats. And they're like, how much is it? And she goes, you need an adult too. And then all three of these kids, and they were probably about, I would say, 11, 12 years old, turned around, heads down, and were like, aww. And walked away. And I was like, she's my new hero.
Oh, I wish I had that skill.
I love it when people keep kids away from history and shit. Oh. That's the best.
Well, I mean, they don't want kids running willy-nilly amok about amongst things. They
playing
want to have
their rap music and whatever, doing drugs whenever they do.
But I appreciate her authority. I had a job one summer, and I was the gatekeeper at like a county park, and it cost, you know, $3 to get in or whatever, and this carload of teens pulled up at one point, and they wanted to go in for free, and they were surprised to see me there being a gatekeeper. And, you know, I was like, oh, it's, you know, however much money. And they yelled profanity at me, turned around, made a slight U-turn to where there are some rose bushes growing behind the little kiosk that I sit in, ripped the rose bushes, like the flowers off the rose bushes,
aww,
drove back and threw them at me. So I got like an angry rose petal shower.
That's such a mixed message.
Yeah. And then drove off kind of with middle fingers raised. So, I mean, I think I could have used like a little bit more, you know, I don't know. It sounds like that lady, she really had like some kiosk authority that made people respect her.
I think it's the hat.
Yeah, I didn't have a hat.
It was the hat. She had the park ranger hat. In the park ranger uniform, and she was, these were not 16-year-olds, these were 11-year-olds, but I'm guessing in San Francisco she's dealt with a lot of different people.
I like that. Oh, sorry.
But yeah, it's kind of cool to walk on the old boats. There was, the tugboat was closed for repairs, but there was an old ferry boat, and there was some learning to be done there. And from there we went up to, like I said in the show on Wednesday, Russian River Brewing for some, and I'm mad because I missed Pliny the Younger, which is a beer that's only available for a very short period of time. And they've had this thing. It's available in February. Well, it as you're hearing the show, it's available, I believe, tomorrow or today. Oh. But I missed it by 5 effing days.
Why can't you be like, don't you know who I am? I've got to do a review of this beer. Give it to me now.
But did you have some Pliny the Elder? You did.
I did have a Pliny the Elder, and I had a Damnation while I was there, and I had to drive back, so I didn't get that. But I did get the growler of Damnation, because Pliny the Elder is very good, but it's an IPA or a double IPA. It's very hoppy, and some people aren't huge into hoppy beers. So if you want to get a growler that you want to share with people, you have to sort of go, okay, what's good that I can share with people, because you don't want to have it all yourself, as we talked about, because it's a lot of beer. It's a lot of beer. Let's start with our Netflix flick of the week. This was Ted's pick. It was The General with Buster Keaton from 1926, a silent film. The plot, when Union spies steal an engineer's beloved locomotive, he pursues it single-handedly and straight through enemy lines. Ted, what did you think of the film? You were the champion of it.
I was a champion of it. I've only seen, I think, one other silent film comedy before, so I thought it'd be interesting to kind of check out that genre again. And first of all, it's funny they call it a comedy, because it was more of a drama with some comedic elements, I suppose. And I was most intrigued. It's funny. It's like the Fast and Furious of the 1920s, because they're racing around on trains and doing all these stunts on these trains. And it's kind of fun to watch them walk around on these moving trains and doing all their little things. But overall, it was an interesting study of the genre of the time. But I wouldn't say it was one of the greatest movies of all time by any stretch of the imagination. It was fine.
Becca, what did you think of what you saw?
So I have to admit, I started watching it with Ted, but we started the movie at 9 o'clock, which is basically my bedtime. So I think I saw the first 20 minutes and then I fell asleep. So, was he like, so it's a Civil War era picture, and he is, it starts out where he's trying to join the Confederates to impress a lady, basically.
Right.
And so by the end, was he still like pro-Confederate?
Yeah, he was definitely a Confederate all the way.
Yeah, he. And at one point, one of the slides, she's like, "Don't. Why didn't you join up? Don't come back. I don't want to see you again until you're in a uniform." And I was like, "That's kind of weird."
It's harsh.
Yeah, it was harsh. But I guess, knowing that the movie was obviously made after the Civil War, I thought it was an interesting choice to make this affable comedian, on the losing side of history, so to speak. I feel like they could have made him a Union person just as easily and done the same shtick, So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah,
it was. I didn't make it through the whole movie. I really tried. And the problem with silent movies in general is I've gotten so used to being at home and multitasking while movies are going on.
Yeah, I can't do that if they're not talking to you.
Oh my God, you cannot at all, because if you turn your head for a moment, you'll miss some action and there's no dialogue to go with it, or you'll miss a slide, so then you're really behind. And the music is not what I would call good. So the only volume, I tried muting it and watching it for a little bit. And I made it through to the point where just after he's firing the cannonballs on the train.
Oh, yeah.
And.
Oh, yeah. I saw that far.
Yeah. I can see the appeal of it. But I mean, I think you really have to be a huge film buff to enjoy a silent film like this.
Yeah.
Because it really is a study. It's like homework.
That's true.
And
you actually have to watch this one. So weird.
Well, you're only getting the one sense from it. And it was weird, because it was almost hard to follow what was going on. And then the slide would come up. And I'm just really glad I was born in the age of talkies, is what I would say from it. But I mean, there are a lot of silent films on Netflix. I will say this. Everyone should probably sit down and try and at least watch a little bit of one, just to get an idea of what it's about. I like the fact that it sort of expanded out what we're looking at and going, oh, okay. Because I went in hoping to like it, hoping to be like, oh, I'm fully into it. But I think we've just been really spoiled by, like I said, multitasking. Like, oh, I'm going to look at Facebook while I'm doing this, or oh, I'm going to be doing something else. And you
sorry,
just
what?
Can't.
I was checking my status.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. and I will say this in terms of handsome leading men. I don't know that Buster Keaton would qualify as a handsome leading man today.
Well, it was a comedy. Maybe that's why it was a comedy, because he wasn't attractive. Do you think he was really handsome back in the day? Was he supposed to be even?
I don't know.
He was
one of the biggest silent film stars.
Yeah.
Movie stars looked more like real people, I think, back in the day.
He looked, to be fair, he looked like a foppish dandy.
Yeah, he looked fine. I also thought, I mean, I kept thinking that most of what we were seeing was probably just real. Like, he was probably really just running around on trains and doing his own, you know, they had to time a lot of stuff as the trains were going down the tracks and he's getting things out of the way and doing stuff. And I was thinking, you know, we don't have all the CGI and movie magic as we did. I mean, this was probably just a carefully orchestrated running around through the woods for like weeks, you know, trying to make this thing happen. And that made it impressive, you know.
I agree. That was impressive.
Like, he must have been, because we were saying, like, he was kind of like an action. He looks like a dandy, but he's kind of like an action star. Like, he had to do a lot of really physical stuff to pull this off, you know?
And yeah. And I'm just reading this now. It is based on a true incident during the Civil War.
Oh, okay.
In April 1862, Union agent James J. Andrews led a squad of 21 soldiers on a daring secret raid. They dressed in civilian clothes, as in the movie, and they traveled by rail into the southern states. Their mission was to sabotage rail lines and disrupt the Confederate Army's supply chain. At the town of Little Shanty, Georgia, the raiders stole a locomotive known as the General, thus the name. They headed north, tearing up the track, burning covered bridges, and cutting telegraph lines along the way. William Fuller and Jeff Kane, the conductor and engineer of the General, pursued the stolen train by foot and rail. They first used a hand cart, as Buster Keaton does in the film, and then a small work locomotive called the Yona, which they borrowed from a railroad work crew, and finally a full-size Confederate Army locomotive called the Texas, which pursued the General for 51 miles in reverse.
Wow.
During the chase, Confederate soldiers were able to repair the sabotage telegraph lines, send messages ahead of the raiders. Andrews and his men were intercepted and captured near Chattanooga, Tennessee, by a squad of Confederate troops led by General Nathan Bedford Forrest, who went on to found the Ku Klux Klan. So there's that. They were tried as spies. Andrews and his seven raiders were hanged by special gallows built to hold all eight men.
Not in the movie, guys.
Special gallows.
Not in the movie.
Not in the movie, unfortunately.
No hangings.
The rest of the raiders were traded in a prisoner exchange. In 1863, the survivors of the missions were awarded the first medals of honor. Andrews and the raiders, who had been hanged later, received the Medal of Honor posthumously. So
special.
There you go.
That answers my question about why, you know, why did they make him a Confederate? Because it was based on a true story. I get it now.
Yeah, and that was the action-y part of it. If you're going to make that story, and I'm actually surprised, considering everything that goes along with that, that they haven't remade this with Johnny Depp.
Right? Dressed as a foppish dandy.
Yeah, when I think, usually is.
Yeah,
Johnny.
It's not dressed as, he just comes as he is.
Yeah, I mean, if you look up foppish dandy in the dictionary, there's a picture of Johnny Depp with a scarf. So there's that. So yeah. the General, Ted, what would you recommend people take a look at it?
You know, I'm going to give it 3 stars. And, I think if you haven't seen a silent movie or you like silent movies, you should check it out, because the stunt work and just the way it was filmed was really interesting. And, I give them credit for that. But, it is a little boring, I guess, by our today's standards. So don't Facebook or tweet while you're watching it. You'll miss something.
Becca, what do you think?
I think the same thing. Like, it was interesting from a historical perspective and interesting to think, how did they do this back in the day? But I had to laugh when you said that it was kind of like homework, because I totally felt like that. Like, I would be watching this in a film class, you know? But it's really hard to get, like, knowing our modern sensibilities, it's very hard to just sort of get caught up in the drama of it all. It's very quaint, you know?
Yeah.
Honestly, I wish I would have known that it was based on a true story. I wish I'd known what I just read before I saw the movie, because then I would have been able to be a little bit more invested in it to see how much of this do they bring forth in the actual story.
Oh.
So I would say, yeah, give it a shot. I mean, but make sure it's a time when, one, you're not sleepy. Because if you're sleepy, you are done. The music alone will put you out. And just go ahead and give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And exhaust your Facebook feed first. Make sure you've read everything that's on Facebook and checked all your notifications.
You know, I think the other thing that would be cool to do is, like, if you're someone who likes to meditate or something like that, maybe substitute this for meditation, because it is just, and then mute it, because you're not going to miss anything but the terrible music.
You have to be really mindful, it's true, to watch a silent film. So
there's that. So yeah, that's the Netflix flick of the week. We're going to put that on hold for a while, for a little bit. We'll bring it back periodically throughout the year, but we're not going to do it every week. Everybody got their movie in, so
yeah.
Yay. I'm going to watch Double Indemnity soon. That was going to be my next pick, but
it's a good movie.
Oh. Yeah.
It's you know, it'll seem a little bit old. I like Double Indemnity. I like to recommend you watch that, and then if you watched, it's like a film. I'm not going to really call myself a film buff, but I'm a bit of a noir enthusiast, and I got really angry when LA Confidential came out, and everyone's like, oh my God, noir is amazing. That is not a noir movie. Right. It misses a lot of the basic hallmarks of it, other than like giving the sheen of the era of noir.
Right.
It is fake.
I will say
it's
this.
The Emperor's Faux noir.
Oh.
I will say this. I love the movie Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid with Steve Martin.
Yeah. That is a good movie too.
And my goal is to try and watch as many of the films that they sampled, I guess would be the right term, to make
homaged.
Right.
No, they didn't homage. They literally sampled scenes out of them.
Oh, I haven't seen that movie in so long, I didn't even realize.
Yeah,
okay.
Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid, they basically took scenes from these old movies and shot Steve Martin as if he were interacting with the characters in those movies.
Oh, I have to watch that movie.
It's brilliant.
I was taken there as a little kid. I don't think I really knew what the hell was going on. So.
I have the DVD. I will loan it to you if you'd like.
Ooh,
it is maybe a fantastic film.
All right.
I highly recommend. Now, the Olympics are starting up here.
Don't know what to do.
But rest assured, actor Steven Seagal does not share your concerns about security during the Sochi Winter Olympics.
Right.
What's your concerns about security?
Well, that it's like
that there isn't enough of it.
It's not enough of it. That it's like not very far from Chechnya. That there's a bunch of female suicide bombers that are there. But the U.S. military doesn't exactly share his certainty and have reportedly sent two warships to the Black Sea during the games because
I feel better.
You know, just in case Steven Seagal's wrong.
why would you not trust Steven Seagal?
I know. Haven't you seen the thing he did? He took the opportunity to brandish his credentials last week on Fox News. Huckabee, here's an excerpt. He said, do we actually have? Oh, there it is. Let's listen to Steven Seagal in his own words on Huckabee. Huckabee.
The State Department is warning American athletes to not wear their Team USA gear outside of Olympic Village during next month's Winter Olympics in Russia. And that's after the U.S. and several European countries have received threats.
I do not heart Mike Huckabee, by the way. Just saying.
Attack. Good to know.
International Olympic Committee officials have shot down those threats, but the hunt continues for Black Widow suicide bombers plotting to disrupt the Winter Games.
And Red October.
I thought there was only one suicide bomber who was called the Black Widow. I didn't think that was like a category.
It's a category now.
A female terrorist suspect targeting the Olympics. Right. Security officials say the 20...
As a feminist, do you have to be torn by these female suicide bombers?
Nope.
Okay.
22-year-old penetrated the 1,500-mile ring of steel surrounding Sochi with plans to attack the Winter Games. But she may not be alone. Two other female extremists have been named, believed to be planning an attack on the final leg of the Olympic torch relay.
The peppy music really does make the bad news easier to hear.
Fit the mold of a typical
makes it so exciting. It's going to be like the most exciting attack ever.
All right, I'm going to scroll ahead and see if I can find some Steven Seagal for us. There we go. Let's have some Steven Seagal.
Ambassador, who's developed a friendly relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Of course
something
he has.
Our Ooh. Own president has not been able to do.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really, you asshat? That's like sitting there going, you know what? Dennis Rodman, who's been able to form a friendly relationship where President Obama wasn't able
unlike
to.
Unlike Obama.
Helped arrange a fact-finding mission to Russia for six members of Congress after the Boston Marathon bombings last year. That's when no one else was able to get it done. Stephen Seagal joins me now. Oh. It's an honor to have you here. Thanks.
He's a real-life hero.
The show.
That counts.
You do have a good relationship with Vladimir Putin, and the world's attention is on the stage of Russia because of the Olympics. Do you feel confident that he and the Russian government can make this a safe environment for the people of the world who will gather for the Olympics?
I don't think that there's any such thing as 100% guarantee on anything in life. As you know, you could walk out to, you know, go buy a bag of sugar and get hit by a car. So anything is possible. But I do know the Alpha Spetsnaz group very, very well. I think they are some of the best anti-terrorist crack commandos in the world. I know them very well, actually. And I think that by virtue of the fact that they have so much experience with terrorism,
who couldn't the have hell a group of guys cares?
That are out there searching Dear them me. Out and you
stupid.
Know,
I want to talk about vaginas.
All right,
what? That's a new one.
And it's actually an old one, but that's okay.
Okay.
So Steven Seagal, all the faith in the world in Putin. So
he should be the next president. He knows Putin. Yeah. Obama doesn't have friends.
Hashtag draft Steven.
Draft Steven. Yes. Steven Seagal. Let's not. And I know you guys didn't get to see this, but Steven Seagal has dyed his goatee. He has a goatee now. And his hair, so jet black. It's absurd. It's like an oil slick on his head, and his hair is Eddie Munster. He's got Eddie Munster hair and a goatee, and they are jet black.
Wow.
Ridiculously jet black. I mean, and for he's like 50 something years old. We know you have a gray hair in there, dude. You're all jet black is not fooling anybody.
No.
Although to be fair, at least it's not going with that normal old dude dye job which makes you a redhead that Schwarzenegger has.
Ugh.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and his pink.
Oh, we forgot when we were talking about bad Super Bowl ads. That was one.
Oh, God. That was the worst.
Ladies and gentlemen of the country, our former governor.
Hey.
Two-term governor.
Funny.
Hey. Hey. Ann Coulter can't stop raging against Hispanic voters.
Can't she stop raging against
anything?
Who
can, though, really?
Right.
We want more Mexican-Americans, more Orientals, and more Negroes.
Well, sure you do.
Yep.
The conservative pundit blasted House Republicans as, quote, sellouts, and a column for crafting guidelines on immigration that would create a mechanism to grant legal status to undocumented immigrants, saying that, quote, the growing Latino population will wreck the country. She said, leave aside the harm cheap labor being dumped on the country does to the millions of unemployed Americans. What does it mean for the Republican Party?
All Latinos are cheap labor.
And they're being dumped on the country.
God knows I just came in from working 12 hours in the strawberry fields. But
Christiana's like, I'm not cheap labor. What are you talking about?
I am way too expensive.
Expensive labor.
Let me tell you.
Casting aside conventional wisdom, Coulter says that embracing immigration reform would make the Republican Party lose voters. Well, she argues that Latinos and other immigrant groups, particularly Asians, are so liberal on issues including Obamacare, gun control, and the role of government.
What? Asians?
That they'll never vote in large numbers for Republicans. As I said,
we want more Mexican-Americans, more Orientals, and more Negroes.
Coulter refuses to acknowledge public opinion on immigration issue, writing, the only ones opposed to our current immigration policies are the people. In fact, polls routinely show that a majority of Americans support immigration reform with a pathway to citizenship for the undocumented, a more liberal stance than the one released this week by House Republicans, which would only create a pathway to legal residence. Now, back to Ann Coulter. She cites a study by the Phyllis Schlafly, who's a fellow conservative pundit, and who, if you can't trust someone named Phyllis, who can you?
Yep.
She's called on the Republicans to keep their party as white as possible.
Oh, that shouldn't be challenging.
We want more Mexican-Americans, more Orientals, and more Negroes.
That's what they say.
I feel like starting with the Black Widow bombers and going straight to Ann Coulter, we are getting a bitches be crazy theme for today's show. Oh, dear.
It continues. The people that Republicans ought to reach out to are white voters, Shafley said on the conservative radio show Focus Today. There's not any evidence at all that these Hispanics coming in from Mexico will vote Republican. Except for the fact that former President George W. Bush pulled 44% of the Latino vote in 2004. Other than that, nothing. Avoiding the approach advocated by folks like Calder and Shafley, President Bush spoke some Spanish, supported immigration reform, and refrained from ranting against Latinos during interviews with the media. And you know how hard that is.
Right.
Every time we have this show.
A lot of the Latino population is somewhat socially conservative because of Catholicism and,
right,
you know, and so, yeah, it does seem like they, I don't know, like if the Republicans would just back off on immigration, they would likely align on some other things, but they won't because secret racism or, you know, open racism.
Yeah, it's pretty secret. You got to really
secret
check that out.
Let's That's what we are.
Yeah, we need to appeal to more. So, it's interesting. Yes, it is on the Huffington Post, so it is a little bit slanted in their outlook on Ann Coulter. But let's face it, Ann Coulter is batshit crazy.
She's the worst.
She's not the worst, but she's in the pantheon.
Well, not the worst.
No, let's continue.
She's bad.
Now, 33 couples might have gotten the greatest night ever when they got married at the 2014 Grammy Awards.
Oh, you found someone worse.
Yes, Kirk Cameron. He was not impressed. He was not at all impressed.
I'm not impressed with
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron more than Ann Coulter.
Do
really?
You?
Yes, I hate Ann Coulter.
I hate.
She's the worst.
I don't want to say I hate anybody.
Well, I don't hate in the sense of hate.
You mean in the sense that
I dislike everything she says and stands for and everything that comes out of her mouth.
That's really hard if you have to choose, like, who do you like or dislike more, Ann Coulter or Kirk Cameron? Like, that's a losing choice right there.
I would also, if I had to pick, I'd go Cameron over Ann Coulter.
You like her more or you like him more?
She likes Cameron more.
I don't like him. I dislike Ann Coulter more because she's so much more...
She has more
angry
power.
And she has a larger platform, I
yeah,
think.
Yeah, that's true.
She's just not nice in any way.
So at the Grammys, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis performed this song, Same Love, alongside Mary Lambert and Madonna, while Queen Latifah officiated the marriages of 33 gay couples, gay and straight. After the show, Cameron took to Facebook to air his grievances over same-sex ceremonies. Because that's what everybody does, right?
Sure.
He called the display an assault on the traditional family. In the post, which has since been deleted, because that's what happens, but saved in a screen grab, he wrote in part, "How'd you like the Grammys? All that assault on the traditional family. As a husband and father, I'm proud to announce the release of my new family movie, Mercy Rule. Last night, the lines were drawn thick and dark. Now, more than ever, we must work together to create the world we want for our children. I'm hoping that just as fireproof restored marriages, Mercy Rule will strengthen families."
Did it? Fireproof restored all marriages?
Really?
I hadn't noticed the divorce rate went down that much. It's good to know.
No one told my ex-wife.
I did not even, like, I don't click on headlines that say things like, Kirk Cameron is mad at the Grammys. I'm like, okay, whatever. I didn't click on it. So I didn't even realize that his, like, controversial tweet was actually promoting his new film at the same time. Like, yeah, that's just lame.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
Right.
It makes him even more horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible because it's not like, oh my God, I'm so offended. My beliefs have been so offended that I have to just blurt something out on Twitter because this is the, you know, my convictions are just urging me to. It's sort of like, how can I spin this so that...
To be fair, it was on Facebook.
Oh, sorry, Facebook.
I don't want to disparage Twitter too much. There's plenty of shit on Twitter, too.
I apologize to Twitter.
It was a weird way to try and self-promote his new movie, Mercy Rule, which co-stars his wife and is apparently about family, faith, and baseball. To which I say, fuck you, Kirk Cameron, for trying to drag baseball into your shitty little world. Fuck you hard.
How dare you.
Baseball. Well, you knew he wasn't going to use the WNBA.
Right.
Full of lesbians. Anyway. he wasn't the only one, though. Brian Fisher of the American Family Association wrote, "Heads up, Grammy telecast to feature sodomy-based wedding ceremonies."
Oh, I missed the part. Did they show the sodomy? Would have made it more interesting.
Well, sodomy-based. Like, that's the main, the main part of this wedding ceremony is the sodomy.
You take this man to sodomize to the end of his
delicious,
days.
I do. Sodomy.
You may sodomize your
groom.
Well, I'm pretty sure sodomy includes oral sex, so...
It's also something
that... It does. It's anything that's not just peen and vag.
Yes.
Sodomy.
And it's also something that
I'm
straight
a fan
people
of sodomy.
Do.
I learned that in my queer law class in law school.
Sodomy.
So law school's good for some stuff.
Interesting. Wow. Sodomy-based wedding ceremony. That sounds like something that would only happen in Vegas.
Yeah, well, right. It can happen anywhere.
And that would like cost extra, too. Right. That would be like the expensive package. Did you want Elvis sodomy or regular sodomy today?
You have to have witnesses.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about the Grammys and Macklemore and all of that stuff, check out the Well Hung podcast. How about that for self-promotion? That's also available on NateDarlingShow.com and right here on the Nate Darling Show iTunes feed.
Will the Well Hung podcast be saving marriage?
No.
Okay.
It's destroying it, I think, is that's the goal of it, right?
Well, yeah. It's me and the... Asian lesbian, so I'm pretty sure we're doing something terrible.
I think she prefers lesbasian. No, she doesn't. Never mind. Just to save time. Do you think she does? I should probably run it past her.
Yeah, I'll check next
Maybe
time.
That could be the first letter that directed to the Well Hung podcast if you guys have a like a phone number or an email.
Trying to be sensitive when I talk about you. What should I refer to you as? Lesbasian?
Well, if you'd like, you can call the listener line. It works for both shows. It's 818-861. 6283.
You should call it right now.
I use
now.
My own personal speak out.
It's or also natedarlingshow@gmail.com.
All right.
It's at the top of the website if you're looking for it.
Got it.
So yeah, go ahead and call it if you'd like.
Okay. I'll be sure to do that. I'll change my voice so you won't know it's me.
Yeah.
Another listener wants to know about the lesbian question.
Those were very bad times.
That's right.
So aging Brillo pad Rand Paul has a brilliant suggestion for a weapon in his ongoing war against the terrifying dragon of the unwed single mother who won't stop living off the government. Can you tell this is a Jezebel article?
Yeah. Yes.
Tell her that if she won't stop having kids, she doesn't get any more government benefits. Rand Paul also famously opposes giving low-income women any sort of aid acquiring birth control and is staunchly anti-abortion. He apparently doesn't think unmarried low-income women should be having sex during
or birth control. Well, or yeah. Abortions.
Well, yeah. Well, if you don't have sex, you don't need birth control or abortions, Becca.
He doesn't think that she's having babies is what he's really said.
No, they just shouldn't be having sex. They can have babies.
Well, this again, this
good
is,
Christian this, supported babies.
This is Jezebel. So he said, "This is what he said. Maybe we have to say enough's enough. You shouldn't be having kids after a certain amount."
That's what I'm saying.
An aide to Paul declined to comment when asked to clarify the senator's statement. Paul also told the audience that being married with kids versus unmarried with kids is the difference between living in poverty and not.
Oh.
The answer, well, actually, that actually is true in
That's
some cases.
That's the difference?
Cases.
Well, in some cases it is. In some cases you can have kids.
Because if you have a two-adult household, both of them with an income, it can be the difference between poverty. But it's causation versus...
It can be, but it depends on how much each person makes.
Yeah, not everybody in a single parent household is living in poverty.
Yeah.
And not everybody in a two parent household is out of poverty.
Exactly. Correct.
So, like I said, it can be.
It's true. It can be. He makes a good point.
Paul continued, "We should sell that message, not in a mean way to tell people who have already made a bad decision, but if you've had one child and you're not married, you shouldn't have another one." Speaking out about high school students, he warned that, quote, "If you have children before you're married, the poverty rate is just astronomical." That actually is also true. If you're a high school student who is a single parent, the likelihood that you're going to be making enough money to not be living at the poverty line, it does make it a very much an uphill struggle.
So if you get married out of high school and have a kid, you'll be okay? Okay, so I'll make sure I understand.
He wants the marriage
that will keep you out of poverty, is what he's saying.
Yeah, it helps. He didn't comment on the reliance on welfare by extremely religious married couples who have more children than they can afford without aid, like staunch Roman Catholics, Hasidic Jews, or polygamous Mormons.
Oi.
Did I get everybody in the room? Anyway.
I'm the Hasidic Jew, apparently.
Who's the polygamous Mormon?
I guess Becca is. By
Becca's gonna have yeah, my religion of this month is Mormonism, y'all.
There you go.
Mormonism, y'all.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And this is Jezebel, so I'm not going to get into it because they extrapolate out more than he actually says. But this is the case of someone taking something that has kernels of truth in it. And
are we talking about Rand Paul or yes. Jezebel? Okay,
well,
Rand Paul.
A little bit of both.
Jezebel
I'm
taking
talking,
kernels of
I'm,
truth.
I'm talking oh. about I'm talking about Rand Paul.
Okay.
Rand Paul. Okay.
There are kernels of truth to what he says. If you're a single parent and you're in high school, you're probably going to have a much harder time making money than if you go and get a college education and move forward from that. If you are talking about simply a single parent with no other support from the other parent of said child, you are more likely to be struggling to get out of poverty. You are more likely to be in that situation. And there are people who continually crank out kids, 4, 5, 6, 7, that they can't support.
Those Hasidic Jews.
The Hasidic Jews,
oy,
yes.
We had another.
But
I don't know.
Hasidic Jews don't have kids out of wedlock?
No, but they crank them out. Oh, we're not talking about the wedlock thing again. Sorry.
Right. Oh, okay.
Continue.
But the bottom, so there, it's one of those things where, and this happens a lot on peripheries of the political landscape, where people will take a little kernel of truth, blow it up, and go, see, and then everybody goes, yeah, as opposed to going like, okay, how about you make condoms available? How about you make birth control available?
There was another article on, I think it might have been on Jezebel, or I saw people link to it about how the abortion rate has gone down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In California, and I think that was linked to increased access to birth control.
Yeah, the abortion rate goes down if you have access to effective birth control.
If there's fewer pregnancies, there's fewer abortions.
Right, and it's not just birth control, it's education on how sex and fertility work, too. So, I mean, if you're like, well, I can't get pregnant because I'm standing on my... If I jump up and down after we have sex, I won't get pregnant. You know, that sort of birth control?
Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. I tried.
Oh,
her
wow.
fourth birthday is soon. No, I'm kidding.
Then there's the idiots who go, well, if it has a condom, it didn't feel good. Get a different condom. Get a different condom. Let me recommend Lifestyles. They're very comfortable. just saying. They're made in India. I saw that too. Made in India, and I'm like, wow, I'm using a condom that's
they're
made
imported.
In...
They're fancy.
Well, it's...
Can't you buy American?
Well, I don't think you can.
Yeah,
but
you can. I think Trojans are made in the USA.
Yeah, they're not as good. I don't like them as much.
I don't know.
I don't like them. Well, it's a different feel. Either way, but India, one of the most populous countries in the world, are the ones making the contraception. so far, so good.
Which is funny. Yeah. Never mind. I'm going to just not. I was about to say something and I decided not to.
Which is funny. No. All right, then. Let's just move on with the show.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. I think this one's going to be pretty quick. Up first, cool or tool, Ted and Coulter.
Oh, my God. The tooliest tool who ever tooled.
Becca.
Tool.
Christiana.
Tool, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really a...
Colossal yeah. Tool. Up next in cooler tool, Kirk Cameron. Becca.
Tool.
Christiana.
Yeah, still Tool. I think there's like a theme of this week's.
Ted?
Yeah, I gotta go Tool on that one too.
Oh yeah, he is a religious tool. And finally in cooler tool, Rand Paul. Christiana.
Oh, I'm gonna make it a trifecta and go with Tool.
Ted?
I too will make it a toolfecta. Tool.
Becca?
Tool.
I agree. Absolutely Tool. Now, here's the twist on cooler tool, because we all agreed on every one of them.
That's weird.
That's cool.
Who is the biggest tool? Ted?
Coulter. Oh, wait. Oh, Paul. No, Coulter. Coulter. Coulter.
Becca.
I can't decide. Brain hurts.
I'm torn. Paul was second
gotta
in my
pick
mind.
I'm just going to say Coulter because I can't.
She loves me.
Christiana?
Yeah. Rand Paul, because he is the only one who's actually elected to an office and can do actual damage when it comes to public policy.
All right. Get ready for this. I agree completely with Christiana. It's Rand Paul, and it's not even close. The other two
do
are...
you hear the clippity-cloppity of little horseman feet coming?
I know, they're coming. They're coming.
The horsemen. Fuck, the horsemen.
Kurt Cameron was right.
You guys have been agreeing all day.
This show is boring.
One mind.
Now I quit.
Now, okay. Everything's changing.
Yeah, we'll figure that all out. So that's it for Cooler Tool. And you guys are wrong.
No, you're wrong. Ann Coulter is an amoral, evil, lie-spewing, vicious, venomous person who has just... She's just the worst.
You're all right.
Oh.
Well, she is horrible. No one's stating anything other than that.
No, well, okay.
It's Rand Paul's worse.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there we go. You make a good point.
Because he actually... Not a little bit. As Christiana said, he actually has some...
His toolish powers are amplified.
I understand he has power, but Coulter has influence. She's written all these books, and she just goes on and on, spews, and she's coming from nowhere. I think she's the biggest tool of all time.
Okay.
Not of all time. Anyway, but clearly.
Hitler was a bigger tool.
He's pretty bad, too.
I know. I went all the way to Hitler. Sorry.
Okay.
That's
as soon
that's
as someone brings
whiplash.
Up Hitler, like, the debate's over.
And there's Obama, too. I don't know.
He's pretty bad.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Obama.
I forgot Obama. Anyway. All right.
I love you, Obama.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah, ooh.
I do. I love him.
You're one of Obama babies.
Ooh.
Oh,
no,
babies.
Not that way. I respect what he and Michelle have going on. I love her, too. I read her book.
I read his books.
I read everybody. I read all the Obama's books.
But have you read Ann Coulter's book?
No.
Books.
That's because you only want to get one side of the
story. Liberals are idiots and stupid and awful.
You know what's really fun, though, is every now and then, just for this show, I like going on the other side of my opinion just to see what people say.
I know you do.
And how ridiculous it can be. And usually you can find Ann Coulter books at, like, the dollar store.
Yeah, about
which is
that.
Very telling. Remember when Rush Limbaugh used to write books?
No.
Those were the days. He's a best-selling author.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, moving on from that to more important people that everyone cares about.
Sarah Palin.
Close. Oh. This is a foreigner.
Obama? Wait.
Justin Bieber.
Oh, Bieber.
Yeah. You know how in Sacramento, the stop people are tried to have a petition to stop the arena and put it on the ballot so that people who don't know anything about funding the arena can vote on it. Well, there's again something
God,
else.
Mike is a
something,
death trap.
Something else Christiana and I completely agree on.
It's true. And it's us versus Larry, which I feel like is like an odd way for this to be working out in terms of who agrees with who.
I have something to say about Justin Bieber. Did you notice this was actually in the News and Review last week that one of the people who was busted with him for drag racing is from Sacramento? It's our claim to fame, you guys.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, woohoo, we're making it.
We're on the map, the delinquent Bieber entourage map.
So with all of the Bieber law breaking going on here in this country, and there's been some in Toronto as well. He allegedly smacked a security guard, or not a security guard, but a limo driver. There's been a petition at We the People, and they got enough signatures, so now the president has to pay attention.
Oh, yeah, the White House has to respond, right?
If this is the most important
issue.
This time
tracing the music for his alleged bad behavior.
That's right. Bieber surrendered last night to the police in Toronto. He was charged with assault, accused of attacking a limo driver last month, and it was a busy day for the 19-year-old's defense team. You see, earlier, his attorney was in a Florida courtroom entering a not guilty plea for DUI and resisting arrest charges.
All that
drama overshadowing the release of Bieber's latest album and video. Take a listen.
He has an album?
I heard a Bieber song. I was listening to like my cable, one of the cable music channels over the weekend while I was cleaning the house. And a song came on and I was like, this is catchy. Who is that? I thought it was like some new Disney starlet. And it was Justin Bieber.
Starlet? Is that what you said?
Yeah, it really sounded like a girl. I didn't know.
But some Americans have just had it with his antics. An online petition to have him deported gathered well over 100,000 signatures. It's enough to get an official response from the White House. People are over the
beams. Our parties are totally
finished with beams, but I don't know if it's going to work. Let's see.
Yeah, this is another instance of petitions are a well-intentioned thing. They need to fucking stop because the White House doesn't need to spend time looking into whether Justin Bieber should be deported.
Also, they will when it comes time for him to... Actually, ICE will just take care of it if he has to renew or get another work visa at some point.
They may
not let him in. I think Snoop Dogg wasn't allowed into either Australia or England because of his pot convictions. And So no, they don't need it. And I hate petitions.
Yeah.
I hate petitions.
Yep.
I hate them so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost kind of curious to see what they say though, because sometimes a petition gets through and then the White House has a chance to be sort of enlightening or clever. Do you remember there was a petition to build the Death Star and
yes.
it got enough and the White House gave a really good response to that. And so I don't know. Sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that they won't look into it too seriously. I'm sure they'll just put something diplomatic out.
I'd rather they be kind of amusing like that.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. Did everybody see the Big Block of Cheese Day YouTube videos going around? Because that was like highlight of my week. But
I read that it was happening, but I didn't follow.
If you watch, did you watch West Wing?
I did.
West Wing fan.
But I read an article that explained.
You kids got to get on that. When you're done with Veronica Mars, your next assignment is West Wing.
Because
you totally
so.
Would
oh,
like
yeah,
it. Did you watch? Did you ever watch it, Ted?
No, no, I haven't.
Nate?
No.
What's wrong with all of you? That's yeah. the world you want to live in. When things get sad in the real like political world, you just go to your happy place West Wing episode and you're like, it's okay. It's okay. What would Sam Seaborn do? And then everything is fine.
Well, now that Rob Lowe has left Parks and Recreation, we might have to find him on that
oh,
show.
Oh, he's amazing. That Yeah, you gotta do this. It's so good.
So petitions are bad.
They are bad.
They're terrible.
I like petitions.
The voting one, the change.org ones, all that. Like, it doesn't do anything.
It does, too. It got that cat from being evicted from Home Depot.
The system works.
I can't argue with that.
Petition movement got the Sausalito School District recalled back when I used to be a reporter in Sausalito.
Wait, what happened?
There was a big petition drive to get all the Sausalito council members recalled because they were mad at the school district. So that's how they wanted to change it. So they had them all recalled.
City oh, really? Council? Because they
no,
were at school,
school district?
District.
School
people.
District was all recalled.
And like I said, I think petitions, I don't share Christiana's view completely. I think they are a good thing when used properly. I just think people have gone fucking bullshit with them.
Well, there's different
yeah.
kinds of petitions. I mean, there's petition like, will you sign this to get something on the ballot?
Right.
I don't sign any of those either mm-hmm. for various reasons. But there's also like here's a change.org thing or a causes.com thing
yeah,
or even
BS.
To a certain extent like the White House things where actual advocacy takes more time. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's harder than just sharing something on your Facebook wall or doing whatever.
No, that's
like,
all you have to do. You can make a difference. Just share it. Like it.
100, like 90% like of these people don't actually hate cancer and therefore will not repost this thing.
Sure.
Do you love your mother? Repost this thing. If not.
Yeah,
hate your mother.
Share this.
People won't have the courage.
Share this photo if you have the courage to.
I'm too scared to do it. People will think less of me because I don't like cancer.
Not too frightened.
Every now and then, I'll put a snarky one of those on my Facebook page just to see if anybody else is in a snarky mood. Because that's the only time you get it is if somebody else has had enough of something.
Yeah,
I've had enough. Do you ever hate your name?
Yes.
Sometimes
I grew up with a huge.
It's been
complex.
A long time,
really.
But
your
when
name's
I was
so, like nice,
when I was a kid, I wanted to change my name to like a million different things that never stuck. I was always like floating new nicknames on my family and friends, and they never stuck.
What else? What did you want to be? What was like the one you came back to the most often?
Oh well, nothing was the most often, but
was it like totally different names or just different versions?
No, totally
of,
different. Oh, like okay. I remember, I wanted to be called Raven at one point.
Oh,
I wanted
so
to,
Raven.
I wanted to be called. No, that was before that. So Raven, I didn't know about that. I just thought it sounded cool and witchy. I remember I wanted to be called Drew. Because I was a big Drew Barrymore fan. And then, you know, I went through many spellings of, you know, because it was like Rebecca. And I was like, Reba, Becky, like,
Reba.
You know.
I'm
and I actually
Reba.
Went through Becky with, like, I was a Becky for years in junior high and high school with, like, a completely nonsensical spelling that has nothing to do with the spelling of my name, Rebecca, that I had to, like, coach everybody through all
yeah.
the time. It was annoying, yeah. you know. And then eventually it mellowed out to Becca sometime in college.
There you go.
You okay with that, Drew?
I was.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Drew Becca.
Drew Becca. Drew Raven.
Come on. That's what we're talking about when I was like eight.
Of
you
course,
know?
Yeah.
There, apparently, my mom told me they gave me my name with the intention of calling me Christy.
Oh.
They have never once in my life called me anything short of my full name. And somebody wrote like a poem for them when I was born that was called Christy with the Big Blue Eyes. My eyes did not stay
what?
Blue. Like all oh. baby eyes start blue. They did not stay blue. No one calls me Christy. I hated my name growing up. I hated it because it was long and it wasn't common, and I just always hated introducing myself or trying to spell it for people. And so I went through phases where there was a definite Christy phase. So like some friends from elementary school, junior high, and I spelled it Christy with an IE, like the song Christy Lee on the Billy Joel album. That's why I liked it. And there was a Chrissy phase that was very brief.
Chrissy.
And my mom hated that. And she also hated people calling me Chris, but I have, there's a pretty solid contingent that call me.
Oh really?
Chris also.
I have to tell you that on your birthday, so I do a thing usually on people's birthdays when you know you got to put something on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. You gotta.
And so I'll Google like happy birthday whoever's name and do an image search and come up with some fun, you know, photo or something. And I Googled happy birthday Christiana and it was just like, do you mean happy birthday Christina? Like there was nothing.
Story of my life. Yeah. Story of my life.
So I think I ended up picking a completely different image. It had nothing to do with birthday or whatever. It was just like,
it didn't work.
Yeah.
Even Google fails. Well, I had a this is the last divergence. I'll let you get to your story. But I had a, I put a thing on Facebook. I got this like credit card that I like that gives Disney points. And so I said, if anybody wants an offer, like it was one of those, everybody wins and gets points. Anyway, one of my friends on Facebook, she goes by Christy. Her name is also Christiana. And she messaged me after. She's like, I called them to try to get the credit card. And she had to like argue with the credit card woman for a couple minutes because the woman just didn't want to believe that both the person applying and the referral name was Christiana. She's going like, do you mean Christina? Wait, your name or her name? Or her name or your name? What's your name? Christiana. No, not the referrer. What's your name?
Who's on
so
first?
I'm like, yeah. Yeah. So there's only like, I've only met a, really maybe four people who have my name. Now it's okay, but it's still cumbersome and annoying.
Well, in Ohio, there's a woman from Licking County. That's right. Licking County.
Oh, boy.
She hates her name, too. So much that she's changing it to something she says is a little more suitable to her personality. That's right. Her new first name is Sexy.
There you go.
Is she a stripper?
Nope.
Oh, Sheila. Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah.
Sheila Crabtree has gone by her middle name.
Sexy Crabtree?
Yep.
That's not going to work Crabtree. At all.
No. She's been going by her middle name, Renea, R-A-N-E-A, since she was a teenager. She said she's hated her first name for no particular reason nearly her entire life. She said it's an ugly name I was cursed with. My mom chose my middle name, which I love, and my dad chose my ugly name.
What's her real first name?
Her real first name is Sheila. But,
Sheila.
All right. Renea is the one she was going by. I'm guessing her parents are divorced and dad wasn't around. She said she quietly decided to fix the problem and petitioned to have it legally changed to Sexy in court. She said, and I quote, "My husband sometimes calls me Sexy. I just decided on that because it's fun. I wasn't expecting anyone to find out. I didn't even tell my husband I was going through with it."
You think anyone would find out you changed your name legally to Sexy?
But, see, part of the application process requires running a notice in the newspaper. And that's when it became public. See, people do read the newspaper. It was in really small print, she said. Then a couple weeks later, I started getting calls and was contacted by everyone. I'm sure if I changed it to something ordinary, no one would have ever known. You think? Sexy?
I think the fact that her last name is Crabtree is what delights me so much. Because I think if you were like, oh, I'm Sexy Jones or Sexy Lee or Sexy McGillicuddy or something. But like Sexy Crabtree is just.
Sexy McGillicuddy.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
You know.
No, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
It works in like a pirate.
What image would you get if you Googled that on her birthday?
Birthday.
Nothing good.
Well, Nate's birthday is coming up, so we'll find out. But. Yeah,
she has two teenage daughters who think the change is a little silly, but they're both fine with it because they probably don't want to argue with mom. She said, "I like to have a lot of fun. I'm not a real serious person." She is due in court on February 11th, where a judge is expected to decide on whether or not to approve the change. If it doesn't go through, she joked she'd try next time to change it to Sparkle. Saying,
"I had a friend named Sparkle.
I have a sparkly personality. I'm just being fun and positive. I know it sounds very silly, but that's okay.
It does sound
silly. I'm just having fun."
I like Sparkle Crabtree better than Sexy Crabtree.
Let me just make
the
this
imagery
very...
for both. It's awesome.
Okay.
So
she has two teenagers. What's going to happen at a certain point? They're going to be dating, and then they're going to be dating seriously, and then they're going to run into that moment when it's time to meet mom. And let me give this advice to everybody, and I mean this completely and utterly seriously. If you meet her mom, and her mom is fucking nuts, run away. Run away as far and as fast as you can and don't ever look back. I mean that with all seriousness. Now,
I thought you were going to say, like, something's going to happen. They're going to get in a serious relationship. And then when it comes time to print the wedding programs, having in the old fancy script font, sexy Crabtree
invites you to the wedding of her daughter.
Right. Yeah. Request the privilege of your attendance.
That'll happen too. But yeah. Now, if you meet somebody and they're nuts, but it's the type of nuts you're used to, go ahead, have at it, because you're used to that. That's great. But run away.
I don't know. I think people with nutso moms are entitled to have boyfriends and serious partners and get married.
Oh, they absolutely are. I'm just saying, if you're the boyfriend, make sure that it's a nutso you're familiar with.
Nuts you can handle?
Yeah, because if your mom is the same type of nuts as her mom, then it's going to be completely normal for you, and you'll be like, oh, okay, that's fine. If it's not, then... And there's a difference between being a little quirky and being nuts.
And I think...
Let's be clear.
I think it also depends on, like, what your partner's relationship is with their parents and how much sway their parents have over them.
This is true, but I will say this. When things get a little bit rocky, as they do in every relationship and as you go through every life, I've found that people tend to revert back to what they learned when they were kids.
That's true.
And who taught them these things?
Sexy Crabtree.
Sexy Crabtree. Exactly.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not Sexy Crabtree.
I learned everything I know from Sexy Crabtree.
And when things get tough... That's my blueprint.
Yeah.
I changed my name.
The crab apple doesn't fall far.
We have a title for this show, too. Sexy Crab Tree.
Oh, I'm pretty sure.
So, Kim Waite, changing subjects, Kim Waite was especially disappointed to fall ill while treating herself to a Caribbean cruise after completing cancer treatment. The London woman thought she was the only sick one as her husband wheeled her to the infirmary. Until the elevator door opened to reveal hundreds of people vomiting into bags, buckets, or on the floor.
Gross.
Whatever was closest. I started crying. I couldn't believe it, she said. I was in shock. She was among nearly 700 passengers and crew members who became ill on a cruise on the Royal Caribbean's Explorer of the Seas. The voyage was cut short, and the ship returned to port in New Jersey, where it's being sanitized for your protection. Long lines of weary travelers arrived to freezing temperatures in Bayonne as Waite and other passengers recalled days of misery, holed up in their rooms with extreme stomach cramps, vomiting, and diarrhea. She said, I've never wanted to go home so much in my life. I've never slept so much in my life, and I've got no suntan.
Yeah. What was the cause of it?
Norovirus.
Oh.
Stomach flu is super contagious.
Yeah, and when you're in that petri dish,
yeah,
and it may
the
be
close a, quarters.
Yeah. Oh, they may go. Oh, it's a huge. It's like a floating island. Nope.
Nope. Not that big.
Nope.
A floating leper.
It's
island.
Usually, I think, the poker chips and then the buffet food. Although my parents just got back from a cruise. I think a princess cruise. They did a Mexico thing. And I was like, aren't you a little bit worried about that? And they said the first 36 hours, whatever, everybody was like hyper, whatever. You couldn't touch a thing. Oh, the crew touched everything. The crew served all the food, the crew, like nothing, you know, as all these precautionary steps. But it can't really prevent everything. That terrifies me. That is my idea of hell is that situation.
Yeah, I know you guys went on a cruise and you had a good time, and I know I have other friends who love cruises, but there is virtually no way I'm getting on a cruise ship. The only one I would ever think of doing is an Alaska cruise, because that's really the only way to see that part of the world and get to see a lot of it.
I've been on 4 cruises and that's never happened.
No, I understand. And there's plenty of people who would, my partially irrational fears don't have to be rational, Ted.
That's true.
That's fair.
You're entitled to irrational feelings.
Yeah. I don't like any of that stuff. It makes me feel gross. Well, they put out so much hand sanitizer, and I'm sure they are like breeding stronger superbugs because they go around sanitizing everything. But you kind of just have to. I mean, it kind of just has done its thing, you know.
Yeah. But I will say this, if you're going on vacation anywhere, it's important to stock yourself up with things like, you know, maybe some Imodium, maybe some Tums, you know, just something in case you're not feeling well. And a great place to
it's
get it is,
stop this.
Is Amazon.
Amazon.com.
Yep. And the best way to shop Amazon, it's through NateDarlingShow.com. You go there, you click the Shop Amazon tab. Shop till your heart's content. Doesn't cost you extra. It helps support the show.
Or buy a book. I think you should buy a book about the Caribbean.
Or you could buy Ann Coulter's many books.
There you go.
For a dollar each.
A lot of things.
Yep, a lot of things. You could buy those books. You could buy Obama's books. Michelle Obama's books.
I bought some light bulbs on Amazon the other day. It was amazing.
Virtually anything you need is there at
Michelle
your fingertips.
Michelle Obama's book about the garden that she built at the White House it's a really lovely book. I recommend it.
Yeah, pick it up on Amazon through NateDarlingShow.com. And we thank you for your patronage.
Thanks.
Remember, we give you entertainment 3 days a week because that's what we do here. We entertain you for free. And now it's time for this.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
All right. Because it's been that sort of week, it's time for Speak Out.
Yay.
Well, I hope there's no more confusing snow logistics.
Well,
like
who knows?
The last show.
Not supporting gay marriage does not mean you hate gays. Supporting the Second Amendment does not mean you are a gun-crazed militiaman. Believing that life begins at conception does not make you a right-to-life radical. Conservative. But believing in Christ makes you a target for our communist governor.
Ah!
Bum, bum, bum! Okay, I'm sorry, because this keeps coming up. I missed, what is the news nugget that is making the governor be branded anti-Christian? Does anybody know?
Well, Governor Cuomo, this is another
the
one.
The D behind his name.
This is another one. Governor Cuomo says conservatives have no place in New York.
Oh, that's what happened.
It seems like the road to tolerance and diversity is a one-way street heading across the state line. Live free or die. By the way, New Hampshire, which is live free or die, doesn't border New York.
Well,
you got to go through Vermont.
Sean Hannity was whining on Fox News that he has to leave New York because the governor doesn't want him there. So yeah, I guess all the Fox Newsians are drooling over it.
That's exactly what it is.
It's just a load of bullshit.
I doubt he really said conservatives have no place in New York. I wish I understood what the actual thing was.
I'll see if I can find it if you want.
Yeah, please do, because it was a little bit more nuanced about that, and it had to do with intolerance and that having no place in New York. Hey, what's up with the new format of the Press Republican? It used to have a distinct style and captivating character, and now it's generic and far less appealing.
Ooh.
Snap.
That one hit a little close to home.
I know.
The guy who's like typing and laying out the Speak Out is like, this one hurt.
Oh.
I think physicians are a bit too obsessed with young people in need of medications for pain. Yes, I agree, be careful, but when a young adult needs pain relief and they are refused or not taken care of the way they should, it's just not right.
Oh.
It's true.
I just needed to get my fix, man.
That's right. Right now.
Although I had a friend online who has like a really bad herniated disc in her back, and she was saying like, there needs to be some kind of way to clear somebody who doesn't have an addiction or whatever. Because she said like the hoops you have to jump through to get pain medication and the extent to which they sort of toggle the supply. Even as the doctor's like, yeah, wow, that's really serious. You should definitely have more meds, but this is all I can give you. Right. So,
Here's a winter one for you. Cars that idle for 5 minutes a day waste over 30 hours of fuel per year. Half-hour early arrival and pickup for school in cold months, December through February. By the way, it's cold other than that. Is 60 hours. Multiply that by the millions who have the same thoughtless behavior every day. No, that's math. Fuck you.
Although, PSA, in Sacramento, you never have to let your car warm up. It is not that cold here.
Yeah.
Never leave
still
your shit on.
Still people do that, though.
Yeah, they do.
Because every year we have to do news stories warning people in Stockton, specifically, to not leave your car running in the driveway in the car theft capital of the country.
Right.
Dullards. Hey, Republicans let me start again. Hold on, let me just clear this up.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
You got this, buddy. You got this. You can do it. Go.
Republicans believe another saying to go down in history. I knew nothing about what my staff did to that bridge. If you believe that, I would like to sell you a bridge. I don't know what they're talking about, but there you go.
That was
Christie.
Badly formulated.
Yep.
But it was thing. No, it wasn't.
I'm a Republican, and I was without health insurance. Finally, I'm able to get it, thanks to Mr. Obama. It seems like the ones that complain about this health care plan are Republicans with health insurance. Time to change parties.
Welcome to the party, if that's true.
Way to go, Speak Out.
Did you find something?
I did. All right. So here's just I Googled it and like a bunch of headlines from conservative newspapers coming up. So I guess anyway, here's what he said. In a radio interview on WC New York, Mr. Cuomo commented on the battle within the Republican Party between conservatives and moderates. Quote, who are they? Are they these extreme conservatives who are right to life, pro-assault weapon, anti-gay? Is that who they are? Because if that is who they are, and if they are the extreme conservatives, they have no place in the state of New York because that is not who New Yorkers are.
Oh.
So he's talking about extreme conservatives having no place in New York, not all conservatives.
But he did say that.
Extreme conservatives have no place in New York. I guess those words, end of sentence, they come out of his mouth. That's true.
Wow. Okay. But why? How people seem to be equating that with Christian also. Which
And with just plain old Republican.
Any conservative. Yeah. I mean, he's saying he's differentiating moderates and extremists, but it's just the words are easy to jump on and take.
I think, elegant. I think what he meant to say was something along the lines of most conservatives aren't extremists, but extremists don't have any place here because most people here aren't extremists.
It's a blue state.
But he did not articulate it properly. But yeah, you're right. Sean Hannity did have a conniption about it, and Jon Stewart made fun of him for it.
What am I going to do? Like, he kept going on, where am I supposed to go? And like Florida's governor and maybe Texas's governor, like, you can come live here, Sean Hannity. We'll welcome you with open arms. It was pathetic.
It was.
Pathetic.
Hey, there's more to basketball than scoring points. Please, coaches, give some recognition to players who contribute to the other aspects of the game, such as rebounds, steals, blocks, etc. Is this not supposed to be a team sport? By the way, all coaches pay attention to that. It's in the scorebook. Shut up, you douche. People who look for any excuse to justify their own poor behavior can be unforgiving or non-accepting of others when they behave poorly. Don't cast stones.
Bob.
And finally, how sad that people choose to be unforgiving of their priests when mistakes are made, yet they expect to find forgiveness for their own actions through confession with these same priests.
What's the local story? Please tell me we're not going back to like sex abuse.
We're not. I'm not even going there. I'm not even going there. And it's not the same thing because the priest, it's his job to forgive you. He's just doing his job.
And he's not forgiving you. He's facilitating God's forgiveness,
there
right?
You go. Exactly. He's just a conduit.
Said.
He's nothing but the telephone to Jesus.
Or the operator.
The phone booth to Jesus is what he is.
Connecting.
He's the server.
Okay.
Never mind.
If you want to go high tech, sure. Absolutely. Or he's
the receiver, the transceiver.
Ooh, I like it.
He's the hotspot. Okay, I'm done.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. Remember, Monday, it's a new Well Hung podcast for you. It's really good, I know, because it's already recorded and in the can. And, of course, we'll be back next Wednesday and Friday with fresh new shows for you. Everybody, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. And enjoy a little girl-on-girl action with Shakira and Rihanna. Because they can't remember to forget you.
Oh.
So don't forget us. Bye-bye.
Bye. Give my lifetime to hold him tonight.